The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast on Stick Boy and We Talk Podcast. Joshua and William Arbuthnot not with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Took you two tries.
It did. You went behind the scenes, you ruined it for everybody.
Oh, we've got to break the fourth wall. How's it going, Coke Cabana?
So, this is our third podcast in a week. Because it has been it's 9 days into 2019, and it has been craziness. It's really a dawn of a new era in professional wrestling. We had a terrific week with starting off with Wrestle Kingdom, and then all the Kenny Omega stuff happened. Joel was right. Josh was wrong on that one. Josh was really, really wrong on that one.
You can go back and listen if you want.
You can go back and listen to how wrong I was and whatnot. Use my broadcasting instincts to try to trust a broadcaster. And in wrestling, even though they're a good broadcaster, don't listen to them.
Basically, the rule of thumb with wrestling is you should always be a little skeptical because you could get worked.
Yes. Don't work yourself into a shoot, brother.
Brother.
But AEW, they had their press conference on Tuesday. There's a few WWE things that we're going to hit on as well. But AEW was the big story, and we're here to break it all down, Joel.
Yeah, it's the rally happened, and boy, did the rally happen. There was some little minor issues here and there with the overall production, but the message rang true throughout the whole thing, and we got one big signing for All Elite Wrestling.
We did, yeah. Some people had a problem with the camera being a little bit shaky, the crowd not being mic'd, but these are things, it's first real big production of the situation for them. They're going to learn from these mistakes. They obviously got the feedback and they're going to learn, but the promises and the signings and the content that was presented far outweighed those negatives of the stream kind of having a shaky start with no sound and those prior things. Those things kind of became irrelevant with the entire context of the rally.
Yeah, like you look at who they've got, and right now we knew that they had the Bucks, Hangman, and Cody. Marty is left alone. He's still trying to figure out what AEW is. Poor Marty Scurll.
Marty doesn't know what it is. We haven't talked about this since BTE came on. Marty does. They left Marty, and they went to his New Year's party, but they left Marty all alone. So it seems like Marty will be taking a little bit of sabbatical from being with the Elite until his contract runs out with Ring of Honor, at least.
Yeah. You know how we always thought that for sure Marty was going to WWE?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Marty's going to WWE, Josh.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless he really, really loves his girlfriend and wants to be around her a lot, which very well could. But the fact is she's working NXT in Florida, and AEW seems to have their stomping grounds in Florida as well, so I think they can make it work, Joel. Those crazy kids.
I keep saying that the battle for wrestling's future is truly in Florida now. So, Florida yeah. Man has a front row seat to all of this.
No kidding. So, let's start with, I guess before we get to the roster stuff, let's get to the nitty-gritty of things. First off, the first show, Double or Nothing, takes place in Vegas at the MGM Grand, which a good addition. I mean, normally we see the MGM, it's meant for boxing and for UFC, so great get for them getting that. You know, some people thought maybe they get the T-Mobile, but they didn't get that.
That was because of the Las Vegas Golden Knights potential playoff run. So
right.
They didn't want to have the chance of getting bumped, and they didn't want to have a UFC situation on their hands. So
mm-hmm.
They made the smart call.
Yeah, I think MGM is a prominent arena. It's kind of synonymous with fighting, like we said, with boxing and with MMA. So good get for them in that. So So we had to wait to the 25 in that. Then some interesting statements. Starting with, I guess, equal pay was the big one. And I think there was a little bit of confusion on that, Joel. But as you were telling me before we started, Dave Meltzer kind of figured that one out pretty fast and let everyone know that it's not just like everyone's making the same amount of money type of pay.
No, it's entry-level contracts for the men and the women are the same. And then as you – it's really pay based on your value to the company. So a guy like Chris Jericho is obviously going to make more money than Britt Baker. But yes. If Britt Baker becomes one of the hottest acts in professional wrestling with the dentist gimmick, then she is going to – she could get on to Jericho's level of a pay scale.
Kind of like we saw with Becky. Becky's probably gone up a pay scale this year with the WWE.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Someone like Ronda is a very valuable asset. She's going to be making more than a ton of the guys.
Oh, yeah. See, and that's a thing now where I think we're getting more and more into a spot where you're going to get paid on your value. And some of the women have more value than the men. It's
yes.
Really that simple.
Well, we've been saying for a while on the main roster, WWE, the women have almost been carrying the show. For a good portion for the last little bit, it seems like. But back to AEW. So that was a big thing. They will have a show in Jacksonville with profits of that going to gun violence victims, which was very noble of them.
It's interesting because we had a conversation off air, and I think it remains true is in the United States, this is a hot topic, and this could alienate certain fan base by doing this because people will look at, but the fact that one of your first shows you're going to run is you're willing to do a charitable show when you can go on the flip side of what WWE did with a Saudi show, just as an example, you see that there are all elite wrestling. I feel like they're carving out their own path and their own niche within things. They're not trying to be WWE. They're trying to be the alternative to WWE. They're trying to be themselves, and they're trying to be what everything they can be. And with something like running a charity show for gun violence, regardless of where you stand on that, and giving most of the proceeds to that is a big deal. And that's a big deal because that could impact sponsorship with All Elite Wrestling. That could impact attendance. That could impact a lot of things. But at the end of the day, you do stuff like that, that's buzzworthy, and that is good PR for a starting company.
That's one of the situations I kind of wanted the crowd on, because it did feel like some of the cheering did simmer down in that side, because I went back and listened to it again today, because it was an interesting thing to go with right away. And we kind of know Florida has a lot of hot spot for gun violence with recent events, and that it kind of shocked me that they did it. Everything you said rings true.
It also speaks to the guy that owns the company, Tony Khan, that how he feels about everything. So this is going to be very interesting to see. I feel like, and this was something that got brought up online, that anytime someone's met Cody and the Bucks when they've been doing the Ring of Honor or anything, and they have the meet and greets, they seem like genuine guys that want to sit and ask you questions and talk to you for a couple minutes, sign your autographs, take your picture, and have some fun. I really think this comes from a genuine place from the three of them. I'm not sure about Tony Khan, because never talked to the guy, never met the guy, but it feels like with the Bucks and Cody, this was a genuine move to do.
And I think they officially lost Brock Lesnar, Joel.
Yeah, and Braun Strowman.
Yeah, it was a good try. We knew they were bidding for him, but
could you imagine if All Elite Wrestling got Brock, even for one show?
I know.
Brock Lesnar versus Kenny Omega.
That would be something. Those are the big announcements that we're doing. We'll get to the roster thing, but one other thing I want to talk to that wasn't confirmed, but Tony Khan did hit on it kind of answering questions after, which was the big hot topic issue. With the healthcare.
Well, Cody had said in the presser that that All Elite Wrestling, if someone gets hurt, will take care of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think Cody would say that unless that's true. And if it's
the
not...
The question is, will they get universal healthcare like a NBA, NHL, FIFA, athletes, whatever, right?
I mean...
That's the question. Something that wrestlers have wanted. I mean... Famously, Ryback, when he quit, was going for that.
See, and that's the thing, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do come when this really starts kicking off. Because this isn't going to be a full-fledged thing until probably later in the year, heading into the winter and then heading into next year. But the fact of the matter is, and this getting healthcare for your company is not going to be an easy thing. There's probably a lot of things that you have to go through to make that a reality. But the reality is, if you have full benefits like that, or even part-time benefits for wrestlers, that forces Vince's hand. And I think that's something that's not talked about is, if this goes through and they can work this, you don't necessarily have to form a union. I don't see a billionaire fully supporting a wrestler's union. But if you have healthcare in your company, and that's one of the things that carrots you dangle in front of these guys, more guys are going to be more inclined to jump to that because they know, well, I can go out there, I can work lesser dates, I have more creative freedom, and I have healthcare. That's going to force Vince's hand. Because if Vince is going to want to match any contracts, he can't just throw a boatload of money. It's going to be like, well, are you going to give me healthcare? And I think with the money that they're getting from Fox and all the other little deals that have come in where WWE's cashing in, I think more guys are going to be like, well, you guys can afford to do this, so do it.
It's interesting because the one thing the WWE does that I've always really appreciated them is the rehab for anyone that's been in their company.
Yeah.
I think it's a great tool they've had, and they've had people that have done multiple stints. Scott Hall, obviously, Jeff Jarrett has recently done – it's been the most recent of doing multiple trips, and it seems to have helped Jeff out. And that's someone that – and that just kind of shows you they don't turn down anyone. That was someone that was against their company, and if you had been an employee there, they come to help you. So that's a big step for them. It's just you're helping these athletes that have had problems after the ring. Why can't you also help the ones that are currently in the ring?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see, because again, we're still in the infancy of All Elite Wrestling, but yeah, we could be sitting here at a groundbreaking change in professional wrestling that forces Vince's hand to do something Vince doesn't want to do.
I agree, man. So that was a very interesting point, and that's just something with whatever happens with AEW, that if let's say by the end of the year, things just don't work out and they fold. Not going to happen. I'm just giving you a hype. If even in the next 2 years, if they're able to do the healthcare thing, that could be a legacy that's left.
Yeah, because it changed the business. If All Elite Wrestling will have to be around for a couple of years for that to last, because that'll have to get put into contracts, and then after a certain point, well, we don't want to remove this from the contract, so we're just going to keep going with the status quo. Because if they fold after a year, then Vince will be like, no, yeah, we're not offering healthcare for anyone else, and we're removing that part.
The next theme was wins mattering and the end of 50-50 booking. To me, that is very nice and true, but it's easier said than done.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is, I think the biggest thing is not necessarily the end of 50-50 booking. I think you're still going to have some of that. But I think the big thing is stats, statistics, and almost treating it like UFC and how they're supposed to have guys become number one contenders. Yeah. And this company that being based, Tony Khan coming from background of both NFL and football over in Europe, I think having those statistics and having those numbers are going to be appealing to wrestling fans, because it's always fun to look at, oh, who wrestled the most matches, who's got the most wins, who's on a hot streak, who's losing right now, who needs to build back up. And it's going to be challenging as bookers. It's basically booking a G1 year round, and it's going to be really interesting how they do it.
I don't know what it was exactly. It was the Bound for Glory series. If you remember that, Joel.
I don't. You're going to have to enlighten me.
So the Bound for Glory series, I thought this was the closest that we ever came to that, because there was points given, and you got points for wins, and like you got extra points for like a submission and whatnot, and then they'd have like a final four, and then they would go for the championship. And this led to like the last pay-per-view I really cared about, where Bobby Roode won and he faced Kurt Angle. Of course, Bobby Roode lost, because that's TNA. But it was a very cool idea, because every match mattered, because you were like, is my guy going to get the most points? And can he be there? And the most important part about why this mattered, and this won't matter for AEW right now, in the future it will, but house show results mattered. So what you did in a house show match went towards the Bound for Glory series. So when you went to a house show, you were like, oh, Bobby Roode won or Bully Ray won this match, and that gave them this many points. And they're here in the Bound for Glory series.
Well, what it is, like I said, it's like the G1. When you get down to that tournament and you're like, oh my God, I have a bet running with Mo, and my guy just needs 2 points. He just needs to win this guy. And then you're watching this half-hour match. Every pinfall matters, partly because I don't want to hear Mo brag about winning, and he did win. He's not going to win this year, but that's a story for another day. It's absolutely like that, and if you can capture that where every match has a value to it, where you're like right now in hockey, the Flames are on a big streak, surprise, from Calgary, Flames fans.
And Tampa was just on a big one, too, where they hadn't had a big regular season loss.
Yeah, and when you have those losses, then it's big deal. Tampa Bay put San Jose over big, and that can help propel San Jose forward. But the Flames have been picking up wins in different ways that help. As a Flames fan, you can go, yeah, this is what I want. This is awesome. This is fun to watch. And if you can do something similar, and especially with the talk of off seasons, where you can have all this built up, and then you can have an off season where you're like, okay, well, everyone's going to take a break. You guys can go take bookings elsewhere. And then we'll reset the counter. We'll bring some new guys in. Maybe some new guys will, other guys will leave, and then we can reset everything.
Exactly. But by the way, too, just the point system, what they had, Joel, which I think is changed the point system, but what they had was 10 points for a submission, 7 for a pinfall, 5 for a countout victory, 3 for DQ victory, 2 points for a draw, minus 10 points for a DQ loss.
Yeah, see, something like that could easily put a little bit more weight in every action, and it forces the guys.
And everything matters too. Like you were saying, it needs to have stats that matter, right? So if your guy gets a counter, it's like, oh, that was a cheap win, and that's only 5 points for him. You have an idea. Do you want to get a submission more than a pinfall, right? So you can see a guy working to get a submission, and if it comes close, it's like, man, I can't pin them. I gotta get a submission, which changes the whole dichotomy of like what you're drawing in the match.
Yeah, and it creates storylines within those matches. I mean, the other thing is, the only thing I wouldn't reset, I'm reneging on it, the only thing I wouldn't reset is the champions. You could, but I would almost keep the champions as the champions, and then you have to work your way up to earn those spots. But there's a ton of things they could do, and I think the infrastructure that All Elite Wrestling has is a very good infrastructure. So
yes, it is.
I'm excited to see what they do, and I mean, the product could absolutely suck. In 8 months' time, we could be recording a podcast going, well, this wasn't what we thought it was, and we'll see where it goes. But as of right now, I think a lot of people are excited for the future.
Me too, and I just think the right talent is involved. And I mean, I look back to when I was a kid, and I've consistently been looking for that 1-2-3 kid over Razor moment for the longest time. And I don't feel like even like when like a Sasha beats a Nia Jax, or like we just haven't like you haven't had someone come on and like pin Braun Strowman on TV and unsuspectedly. I guess like the closest modern day one would be what, Hurricane beating The Rock.
Yeah, or you could make an argument for Ali pinning Brian.
Brian, yeah, but that wasn't, I guess, like as much as 1-2-3 kid over Razor.
Yeah, it was in a singles match. If it was in a singles match, I think it would have been a bigger deal.
And even with Hurricane, it was because Austin distracted Rock.
Yeah,
but I'm looking for that. I want one of those results of being like MGF beats like Hangman or something. It's like, whoa, what?
Just or, and suddenly it shoots. It shoots him up in the standings, and it knocks Hangman down back a bit.
Exactly. So I think standings and stats do matter. I think that is important. And I think that was one of the things when TNA was in their dying days that I did like what TNA did.
Yeah.
Being the last like rival in North America to WWE. The roster, though, Joel, take it away.
So, roster, we've got Joey Janela and Penelope Ford, which is a surprise because Ford had a tryout with WWE. Clearly, they didn't like a blonde woman. Wow.
Well, or they did.
And she
didn't. Yeah.
She's extremely talented, and she's someone that they could very easily have one of the key figures in their women's division. And Janela is Janela. So those are both great signings for them.
It's going to help with independent stuff, too, because it still sounds like he's going to be able to do his summer jams.
Yeah.
And so and that's where I wonder you may see a Bucks or Cody maybe at Mania Weekend. I know Cody said he's going to let WWE have Mania Weekend, but I just don't believe that. I think that's BS.
Yeah, next year's going to be really interesting to see where everyone
Minnesota, the home of where a lot of home of like basic where wrestling started, AWA and everything, is the rumor is Minnesota.
Yeah. So we've got Janelle and Ford, which is a great signing. We've got MJF, which is a good signing, good young signing. We can see how they can build him up. As we thought, SCU signed with them.
SCU!
Britt Baker, it's not the worst town that they've ever been in, so that's good. It's a little surprising that Britt Baker signed. That was another thing that
it's the least they could do. They killed her boyfriend. Poisoned her boyfriend. It's the least they could do.
Yeah.
Just give her a job for the grieving widow.
If you go back and watch the BTE Halloween episode, you can see the ghost of Adam Cole. So he is haunting.
Can you?
Yeah, there was a little glimpse in the intro, I think, where you can see Adam Cole's ghost.
That's hilarious. I'll have to go back and see that.
And then they just signed these two other guys. He's currently the champion in Dragon Gate. His name is Pac, I think.
Mm-hmm. P-A-C.
Has he done anything worthwhile? Has he wrestled anywhere that we might know of?
Oh, he's arguably the greatest cruiserweight champion of all time.
And he was in NXT, wasn't he? What was his name? Neville? Didn't they want him to have a Mighty Mouse gimmick at one point?
Yeah, he was a really good NXT champion. Probably had some of the best early matches there.
And then they just found a way to boggle it all. So that's...
Well, what was it? It was Enzo, right?
Yeah, it was Enzo. It was Enzo. Mm-hmm. So if AEW signs Enzo and Cass, that'll be a very funny time.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pac, I just need you to put Enzo over again for us.
We'll owe you one, pal. Not again!
Just, if the Bucks and Cody aren't using I owe you one, pal, I'll be really disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. They didn't sign anyone else. There's no one that was moved to the alumni section in the WWE athletes and removed from the opening graphic that says then, now, forever. Clearly, it's not forever anymore.
Was he?
Yep, he got moved. He's been replaced by the Bar.
Was he on Raw's?
He was on Raw's, but he got removed in SmackDown.
That was fast.
Yeah, I think... if anyone wants to know his name, it's Chris Jericho. AEW is Jericho.
By the way, his son is Judas, which is what Vince McMahon is thinking about him.
Yeah, it's like, you said this Japan thing was a one-off. What have you done?
I still wonder if he told Vince and been like, I'm going here. I think he gave Vince the courtesy of letting him know.
Yeah, and it's still business. Like, I mean, Dave Meltzer reported that Jericho talked to WWE before he left before Meltzer had left for Japan. So heading into Wrestle Kingdom. So there were talks, and I guess All Elite Wrestling offered a better deal for Jericho. And Jericho still gets to do the Jericho Cruise, and that was something Cody had said. So... it's not a bad deal for the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller, and All Elite Wrestling is Jericho.
He will be in the Hall of Fame in a few years, but it will be a long time to hear Break the Walls down.
Yeah, I wonder how many years he signed with them. I'm very interested to see.
That's the key, because the Bucks, Cody, and Heyman, we know, are 5 years.
Yeah, they're in it. They're all in on it. Wink, wink. But having Jericho's a big get because it draws in wrestling fans. That's something that you're like, oh, that's Chris Jericho. And then just whatever you do with Chris Jericho moving forward, it's going to be really interesting. He's the same age Flair was when he was in WCW. This could be a passing of the torch moment for a couple of young guys. Jericho could help be a part of building up some of these younger guys. He could have a match with Hangman. Obviously, he could have another match. If Kenny signs with All Elite Wrestling, then he could have a match with Kenny. He can have a feud with Janela. He can have matches with Pac again. He could wrestle Cody. There's a lot of matchups for Jericho within All Elite Wrestling. And the other thing that I think is appealing to everyone on that on that roster right now is the Oriental Wrestling Entertainment. They have a deal with a promotion in China. And we know how badly WWE wants to get into China.
Yeah, so, who's the guy they signed and they recently cut?
Oh, no, he left because, I don't know, there have been a few talent that have come through and then have since left.
They had two guys in the Cruiserweight Classic.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, Ho Ho Lin was one, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think he left to go take care of a family member. Yeah, I believe.
So I wonder if they get Ho Ho Lin just because he's kind of a name being in the CWC.
Yeah, you absolutely could. And then having a deal, and from what I was reading and what the rumor is out there, All Elite Wrestling is going to have to send performers over to this OWE. So the Bucks, Cody, these guys could end up working in China for different things, which I think
is a huge market.
Which is a the amount that they could that's a huge get, and I think that's what Tony Khan's plan is, to get into the China market and drive Vince even crazier.
Yeah, I think that is one of the things that was kind of not talked about as much from Tuesday, but as you and I had discussed off air, that is a very nice get for them, because we know WWE's experimented with other markets, right? We know what happened with India last year with Jinder, for example, and that obviously didn't work for them. So they're obviously, and WWE's been trying to get into China. You know, Hunter's been hitting China hard, and it was a very nice get by the Bucks to get to China.
Yeah, yeah. It's for All Elite Wrestling to have this, and could you imagine if Jericho goes over to work a China show? Jericho would do it too. I would be shocked if Jericho didn't go over, because that's more people he can pander to and more money he can make. So, and there's some rumors about some of the deals that it sounds like Tony Khan was on Xbox podcast and kind of was talking about
it. Which was kind of surprising to me.
It's one of those things where you think about it now and you're like, that's a little weird that that's your really first introduction into wrestling. But I guess what are the big podcasts?
We think Jericho's, first of all. And also just Pac's relationship with Hunter.
Yeah, I think it's a good get for X-Pac.
I think it's a great get for him. I wonder what that does for his relationship with Hunter and Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn, I don't think him and Hunter have like an unbelievable one, right? But Billy Gunn now a producer, side note. But the X-Pac one did kind of shock me that Tony went on there knowing Hunter and Pac's relationship and X-Pac having like kind of like a always can come to the Hall of Fame type of reputation.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he still has that. It was interesting because I think they're going to be monitoring some people with AEW the next little bit here and be like, why did you do that to us or whatever? Because you kind of saw WWE's petty with some AEW stuff already, which we'll get to in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But just some brief notes for Xbox podcast. You can listen to it on YouTube. There was mention of Goldberg. There's nothing confirmed, but
they've talked.
Yeah, they've talked. And he basically said if the situation's right, then they could work something out. Khan's vision of All Elite Wrestling is very much a product that you can enjoy from top to bottom. He wants it to be I think we're going to be able to generate a wrestling show that's not just built with great work and awesome promos, but spontaneity and a live show that really feels like a live show. Like, oh, anything can happen. I'm excited for what we're going to do. The importance of wins and losses, he talked about that. And he also talked about that some of the challenges that they face. And so I think it's not going to be easy. Everyone has to work really hard. But I think that that's the challenge that everybody's up to. So he recognizes that it's not going to be easy. But he seems to have a good mind for everything. And I'm for one really excited to see what this all leads to.
Me too. And, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff this week, like they're going to beat WWE and all this stuff. First of all, no, they're not. There's no beating WWE. It's a multi-billion dollar company. But this is fantastic for wrestling because this is probably the best option for other wrestlers. Really, I guess since maybe TNA in 2006, Joel, And then maybe when Hogan came, when it kind of looked like it was going to be a change. But this even feels bigger than TNA ever did at their peaks as far as a North American competitor to New York.
Yeah, this is, like, for me, myself, when I saw that they were flying the Bucks and Pro Wrestling Tees out to out in a private jet, I was like, oh, this is big time. This ain't no little small thing. This isn't rinky-dink. This is serious. So I'm really interested to see, but we didn't even put it on our list, Josh, but there's something that you noticed in this press conference. Nothing's been confirmed as of yet, but you noticed something that could be a big, big, big silent get for All Elite Wrestling that WWE's never even come close to.
So they had the Swish, the Nike Swish on the shirts that they had, on the polo shirts, not the t-shirts, but on the polo shirts, all had Nike, which I can tell you, without getting into too much details, being a broadcaster and working with some basketball teams, that getting any sponsorship with that, may it be Adidas, Jordan, Under Armour, Nike, it's, you need permission for the company. Obviously, you can't just put that on your shirt, especially when you're a company promoting stuff or a team promoting stuff. So getting that Swish is nothing. Now, and 100% can't confirm this, but obviously we do some stuff with Peeper at Sneaker, the YY Sneaker people out here in Calgary. And, you know, they hear things. Again, I can't 100% specify here, but there is rumored to be an agreement with Nike. Obviously, the shirts are the giveaway, and sneakers could be provided as well, which, if that's the case, that's unbelievable for them.
That was the closest impression I've ever heard to Dave Meltzer's card subject to change. Plans can change. So, no, I think...
It's funny, because someone told me the other day that, when I did an intro the other day, that I sounded like Alvarez. So now I've been the Alvarez and the Meltzer.
You've hit both of them.
I've hit both of them.
This is interesting because, like you said, to have the Swish, to have that logo on certain memorabilia merchandise that you're selling means something, but we're not sure on what it. And Meltzer hasn't said anything, and I think it's something that to be wait and see. This could be a whole lot of nothing, but like you said, to have it there means something. Hope, and for them to potentially get it, I think that's going to drive Vince crazy.
Yeah, I think so too. It's because I look at the big five, right? As far as advertising, they've never promoted anything Disney before. Like, they've never been like, this is sponsored by Black Panther or the latest MCU movie, for example, right? Or like Star Wars or anything like that, right? So nothing Disney. They mean, it's like, oh, Toy Story or whatever. I guess they had the Muppets, so that's kind of close, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Jim Henson owns that. But so that's the closest, I guess, they came to promoting Disney. They've never promoted Apple. They've never promoted McDonald's. And they've obviously never had Nike. And they've never had Coca-Cola. That I know of. I can't remember a time they've ever had Coke.
No, you think that would stand out. That would very much
stand out. Yeah, because if they had Coca-Cola, it would be a big deal they got Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that would be something that would be a feather. Because
I think they've had Mountain Dew before.
Yes.
They had Mountain Dew, but they never outright had Pepsi itself.
Yeah, no, I don't believe so. But they may have earlier, like maybe in the Mo would be a good person to talk to on this to see.
We all know they had Skittles. JR made sure that we knew that they had Skittles.
Oh boy, some of those things are ingrained in your memory.
But yeah, they've never had those big ones. So AEW having any association, even just on a sleeve of a shirt, having that Swoosh, is the first thing I noticed. Obviously, I do an NBA podcast, and we've done stuff with the sneaker, the YYC soldiers out here in Calgary for sneakers and stuff. So that's stuff that we notice right away, and it was stuff that was brought to me for a few sneakerheads that we do stuff with. So that's an interesting tidbit to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Tony Khan having the basis in England football with Fulham and then with the NFL with the Jaguars, not too far off to get something with Nike. So
No, not at all.
And then what else, Joel?
You mentioned something about WWE being petty. And let's be very clear, Josh. I want to make sure that we're very clear on this. That WWE, in their history, has never been petty. And they've always took the higher road in everything that they've done. Right, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, let's just don't believe that. Just anytime they go to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you lasted longer than CM Punk.
Yeah. So we don't know this for sure. I mean, we do, but there are some rumors about AEW shirts being banned by certain fans. Some people have said that's not true and they got in. There was a certain fan that went on the Post Wrestling podcast and talked about his experience and said that he was denied at the entrance and that he had to get another shirt, that he had to go back to his car and change, and he offered to buy a WWE shirt and he didn't want to start a commotion. It's, you know, it's hard to not believe that WWE would be petty like this, but but this fan also said, like, it came from Vince McMahon himself, which I highly disbelieve that Vince McMahon would be like, God damn it, no shirts. I think Vince has a show to book. I don't think he gives a crap about shirts. Maybe he said, we don't want any signs, or someone on the higher side is like, we don't want the sign. Maybe Carano said it. I don't think Vince said it.
No, and there, it could easily have just been a mix-up. Someone with maybe a very small amount of clout within WWE maybe had a WWE shirt and said, yeah, no, we don't want those shirts in. And then that's where it all started.
And John Pollock from Post Wrestling, again, reached out to WWE officials and was sort of like, no, they're allowed to wear them. So, and for situations like when Brian was walking down the aisle, we saw Bullet Club shirts there. We saw
one of the Young Bucks shirts. I only saw one Young Buck shirt. I watched the clip back this morning.
Yeah, there's a Young Buck shirt. There's a Bay Bay shirt, an Undisputed shirt, and a Bullet Club shirt.
I saw an Elite, and I saw one Matt Nick Jacksonville.
Yeah, did you not see the Bullet Club shirt?
I did not see any Bullet Club shirts.
But there was Bullet a Bullet Club, and there was a Bay Bay, and there was an Undisputed shirt.
The Bullet Club, I don't know, really matters to this situation because they're no longer tied.
Not anymore. No. Yeah. I think it was a Kenny. It was a Kenny Bullet Club too.
Hey, at least that's one thorn at a WWE side. I don't think they have to worry about Bullet Club anymore or too much.
Yeah, well, we'll see what Jay White can do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you are. There's a lot of cool tidbits that was knocked. It got me very excited. Again, like, I want to specify, and I know you agree with me on this, Joel, and I'll let you say your piece. We don't need to pick sides. We don't need to pick WWE or AEW or Ring of Honor or New Japan. Let's just be happy that wrestling feels the freshest and the most competitive that it's felt in years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that is a drive home statement that can't be stressed enough and should be said on every podcast and everything. We don't have to. No, if you like Chris Jericho and AJ Styles, you don't have to pick between Chris Jericho and AJ Styles. You can watch both. So. And if
we're
in an
age where it's easier than ever to watch both shows.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, there's a chance that you can easily watch both shows and be up to date on everything. And at this point in time, that's only a good thing for wrestling. And if Ring of Honor figures their stuff out and New Japan, everything kind of works out behind the scenes with All Elite Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and all the other promotions. Like, it seems like AEW is going to be shining lights on other promotions, which I think is a big deal. And if the rumor of them having a PWG deal of some kind could see Jericho and Bola.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, those shows will sell out. Those shows already sell out super quick, but that would be just, they'd be gone in flash.
So, yeah, that's everything with AEW. We will keep you up to date. Oh, is that everything?
No, because it keeps floating. No one has confirmed it. No one has said that this is confirmed. But there's rumors, and we stress this. This is rumors that what TV deal that
thank you for bringing that up. Yes, we had kind of talked about this near the end about Ariel Helwani starting this rumor.
Was it Helwani that started this rumor?
Ariel Helwani brought this up because I can't remember which MMA organization signed with TBS. I'll Google that in a second. But Ariel Helwani had brought up the idea that Turner Sports had gotten into MMA and that they were looking to jump into the wrestling thing.
Yeah, so the rumor going around right now, that's a good point. I forgot about that. But there was a rumor going around that TBS has
they signed one championship, by the way. That's who they inked.
That's who they inked? Yeah. There's a rumor that TBS and All Elite Wrestling have a TV deal. There's no real details, and there's 0 point speculating, but All Elite Wrestling and TBS/TNT are linked together. And I mean, Turner wants his win back. So, what better way to kick off your first debut show than have Ted Turner come out and say, "I'm coming for you, Vince."
That one championship also has Misha Tate with him.
Really?
Misha Tate and Rich Franklin are the vice presidents of the company.
Huh. So maybe Misha Tate finds her way into All Elite Wrestling.
Maybe. We've seen this before with Spike when they had Bellator, and they had TNA together. But I agree. Like, I mean, we had kind of had an idea that Turner was looking, and obviously Ted is still a little sour of the loss to Vince. And
how many years has it been?
2000, almost 20 years, 18 years.
So it's just 18 years for the Turner comeback. Potential, yeah. Turner comeback.
Now, Turner is interesting, what they've done with sports. Now, we know that they still have the Braves, so there'd be a lot of Braves because the Braves are an up-and-coming. The Braves, for those that aren't baseball fans, the Braves were kind of a year ahead of where they were supposed to be and made the playoffs last year. So the Braves are an up-and-coming team, so you'll probably see a lot of them come playoff time. They have the rights to March Madness, and then the NBA is a big one that could mess up some plans for airing. But here's what could happen with a situation like this. Is the Turner tree for March Madness and for other NBA games, they can kind of move things around like we see here in Canada with the Sportsnet or TSN, for example, right? We have five TSNs, and same with some Americans even. You have ESPN, you have ESPN News. Things get moved around, right? So, for example, let's say there's an NBA playoff game that is going to take precedence over an All Elite. But they can move it to a True TV. They can move it to a TBS. And then if they're not in there, they'll air on TNT. That's what they do with March Madness. They're done with NBA games. Just a few weeks ago, it was like they were going into a Warriors game. And they're like, we're going to get you caught up in that Warriors game right away, but for now, we're going to throw it to True TV. So it goes to True TV, or they're going to throw it to TBS. So like we've kind of seen that sometimes on ESPN. We don't have this right now. We're going to throw you to ESPN News. So it could be a situation of, like, All Elite's supposed to air on Tuesday, but we have the Western Conference playoffs. So tonight they're going to air on True TV. As for the Canadian side, we have no idea. And same with England and everywhere else.
It's going to be interesting to see because that's a big deal to get those markets as well.
Well, but England, they won't get Sky Sports because that's 100% WWE. So yeah. England, I'm also interested to see where they can go for England, and I'm interested to see where they can go for Canada. It's just two markets that matter with me, having family in England and then obviously living in Canada.
Yeah. I'm interested because, I mean, Chris Jericho is Canadian, and, I mean, if they get Kenny Omega, then that's that could potentially be a reason to really try to drive home the Canadian broadcast.
I mean, I don't doubt it. We have every broadcast has airing up here except for Japan, I believe, for weekly television.
Yes. I don't believe the Fight Network has New Japan.
No, but we have Ring of Honor if we need it. It's on random Sinclair stuff. And we have TNA is an interesting one because the Fight Network owns Impact Wrestling. So Joel and I have kind of suspected maybe Impact Wrestling merges or ends. I you said that they had offered to buy TNA,
No, TNA, from the rumor heard, was Impact broached the subject of them getting bought. But Tony Khan doesn't want to buy anyone. Tony Khan wants to build and work with promotions. So that'll be very interesting.
Yeah, I like that. So the Turner thing is interesting. I like it. You have made the good point, Joel. It's like they would be very foolish, and I hope they don't make the mistake of – like, the Tuesday night thing is kind of what has been rumored. So I hope they don't make the mistake of, we're going to do head-to-head right away. Build the company up, see where you are in 2 years, 3 years, and then maybe let's worry about head-to-head. Right now, let's establish the company and go from there.
Yeah.
And are we good with that for AEW?
I believe so.
Right. So we will keep you updated with AEW as it continues. As for Kenny, just a quick.
We forgot one thing. We should definitely mention this before we run away. I lost my train of thought. Damn it. Brandi Rhodes is one of the key figures for the women's division for them, yes. And she's the chief brandy officer brand officer. So she's their equivalent to Stephanie McMahon. Which one do you prefer more, her or Stephanie McMahon?
Stephanie. She has business. Brandy hasn't proven herself.
I don't know. I just
feel Stephanie works with all these companies. She does the Make-A-Wishes. She has these business meetings. She's been raised in the company. She goes to these boardrooms. I trust Stephanie right now. I think Brandy obviously is probably a nicer person, but Stephanie has the business acumen.
I'm interested to see. There's going to be a lot of things more. So, I think now with the veil pulled the way it is.
I believe Steph went to college for business.
I'm not entirely sure on Stephanie's background. So it's going to be interesting to see how Brandy handles being in that role, especially if it does it, as big of a role as it is for a starting company.
Obviously, Brandy's a nicer person and someone I'd rather deal with business-wise. But I have to give to Stephanie's just been doing this longer and she's been raising this business.
I'm interested to see because she's in charge of building the women's division. So I'm interested to see who she goes
at. Good start, because Penelope Ford at All In was a performer that stuck out to me. I thought Joey Janela was fine, but Ford stuck out to me. She was like, that match was a really fun match, and there's the themes that also stick out in that, literally. But I thought Penelope Ford really impressed me. I had never seen her before, and I thought she was a great get. I think Britt Baker's a great get, and I'm interested to see if they go to the Women of Honor and look at someone like a Madison Rayne and try to pelt her, or TNA and try to take a Tyra Valkyrie or a Tessa. And who else knows from people that have been in the Mae Young that they may try to take away?
Yeah, that's a great way to showcase talent, but it's also a great way to get WWE's attention for All Elite Wrestling's attention on people they should go after.
Because no one, Women of Honor, it's been fine, but it hasn't really competed with WWE as far as women's wrestling.
No, WWE has done the women has so far done the women pretty good.
Yeah.
There are some flubs here and there, but I'm interested to see what they can do.
So, and then the last thing is Kenny Omega. Obviously, I kind of talked to you about the beginning. The end of BT, he found his phone. So it pretty much just seems that Japan is trying desperately to get him back, and we'll see what the deal will be with Japan and AEW in the coming weeks.
Yeah, that's if you want to keep.
If paying, not, he's just going to go to AEW. I think that's that simple.
Yeah, I do too.
Because the WWE offer he turned down, right?
That's what Meltzer said. I mean, okay. We live in a strange time where suddenly he could be WWE
bound. There's zero chance now, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
If they got Chris Jericho, but they didn't get Kenny Omega, that would just be weird.
Yeah, that one wouldn't make as much sense.
Okay, quick WWE stuff. You know, it was a pretty good week for the WWE, all things despite AEW with everything. Sasha Banks, finally, maybe, back on track. You don't seem as optimistic, Joel.
If there's one thing I've learned, optimism and WWE don't go together.
At the very least, she's going to have a hell of a good match with Ronda.
Oh, yeah. The Royal Rumble is shaping up to be a decent show.
It really is. Turned out to be a really nice card. I'm really excited to see this. I think Ronda's going to win this match. Like, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's weird with Becky and Asuka now that we kind of thought which way they were going. But it's, I guess, Joel, it's just looking more and more like this is going to be a three-way, which we figured one way or another Flair was going to sneak her way into this match.
God damn it. We need them all.
We just want the one-on-one match. It's funny. We just talk about AEW and their... the progressive, and they're giving the fans they want. The fans don't want a three-way. The fans want just Becky and Ronda one-on-one at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's all we want. We do not want Charlotte Flair in that match.
It's very weird because... See, and that's the thing. That's the biggest thing with all of this is it's one step forward, two steps back.
So we'll see. I mean, for all we know, Sasha could somehow beat Ronda from help from Charlotte. And then, I don't know, maybe Becky wins the title and that's how we're going to get to that match. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that Sasha's losing because they're going to do the take title thing. But at the very least, Sasha's going to get a chance to prove why she's arguably the best women's wrestler in the company.
Yeah.
Ronda doesn't have bad matches, and she's got a chance to wrestle. Natty looks good. She's weirdly good with Nia, and now they're getting the chance to face Sasha. I'm very excited for that match.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how they push things. It's going to be interesting to see where this all goes. I don't know. I'm a little less optimistic. If we were talking about SmackDown, there's a little bit more optimism with that, but Raw always has me a little bit more like, eh.
I would agree.
I mean, you look at that Brock and Braun segment, which was very...
Well, you know what that was?
Well, it was because...
That was timed out perfectly for the halftime of the national championship.
Well, the other thing is the reason no one touched was because Strowman's still hurt. Like, Strowman's still not 100%, but it's still... Yes. I don't know. There's something underwhelming about all that. That's a big. That's supposed to be a big matchup for you.
And well, we've seen it four times. We saw it last year with Kane in it.
That's right.
We saw it on that pay-per-view when Cena faced Roman. And we saw it at, was it the Australia show? Yeah, it was the Australia show when we thought there was, when he beat Roman, when he beat, or was it Crown Jewel? It was Crown Jewel.
Yeah, it's Crown Jewel.
Just trying to forget about that pay-per-view. So this is the fourth time they faced each other. And they just haven't really been good matches.
No.
And if they don't pull the trigger on Braun here, then it's like, what's the point? But it almost makes more sense to do the Seth and Brock match because that's a more exciting WrestleMania match.
Yeah, and you're slowly starting to rehab Seth Rollins.
Yeah, so I don't really know what's going on there.
I imagine that's why they're having Seth face
Bobby.
Yeah, because then Bobby's kind of built similar to Brock.
Yeah.
So when Seth beats Bobby, then that makes him a little bit more credible. I'm interested to see where they go with Drew and all this.
Yeah, it's interesting. You kind of look where Cena was paired.
Yeah.
He was paired with Becky and he was paired with Drew. And which are like the two projects they kind of care about the most.
Yeah. And it speaks to what Cena thinks of Drew and Becky.
Exactly. So you kind of see what those two parallels are for those two characters. I just got a comment too. I thought SmackDown was really well done this week. I liked the fast pace to it. The Bryan promo was tremendous. Even like a kind of Attitude Era gimmick, like the Mandy with Naomi gimmick, I did like it. I did like that. I thought the tag match, by the way, if you watch any match this week, obviously go watch everything from Wrestle Kingdom, but go out of your way to watch that tag match with Mustafa and Rey against Almas and Joe. That was a really good TV match.
Well, we got to see our first ever Canadian Destroyer on WWE TV, so.
That we did. That was pretty crazy. That was pretty that was pretty mental.
You know, I think what we're going to see here is WWE's response to All Elite Wrestling, and I think you're going to see certain guys get pushed a little bit more, like The Revival, which...
Finn,
yeah. There's a couple guys that they're like, well, we need to start building you guys up, because if we keep pissing you off, then you're going to leave on us.
And Sasha's one of those, too. We know Sasha hasn't been happy.
Yeah.
So I just thought SmackDown was really focused. It was one of the best SmackDowns in a while. And Mustafa Ali getting mixed into this roster has refreshed some of the matchups. And Rey, too. Rey has just been really good. Like, Rey, I haven't enjoyed Rey this much in a long time. Like, I'm glad he took a break from the WWE, because Rey just looks refreshed and rehashed and... Whatever he does at Mania, if it is Almas, there was a rumor floating around today of hair versus mask, which would be tremendous. I just really am enjoying Rey Mysterio right now.
It's one of those things that I think sometimes you have to go away and really just go away and reset. And when you come back, it's a bigger deal. Like when Chris Jericho shows up in WWE again, if he ever shows up in WWE again, it's going to be a big deal, especially with everything that's happened in the last year and a half with Jericho.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Christian, when Christian came back from TNA, Christian was a bigger deal.
Yep.
And he mattered. And Drew mattered, right? Like Bobby Lashley, we thought he mattered a little bit more. It seems like Bobby's in a better way the last few weeks. And see, that's the thing, too. You're kind of noticing the stuff with Bobby Lashley, the ass shaking and stuff. They've cut that shit out. It's gone.
It's time to be, All Elite Wrestling, maybe forcing them to take things a little more seriously.
Like, Raw was fine. There's still a lot of the habits. I just thought SmackDown, I continue to really, really enjoy SmackDown. It's not the best wrestling show out there. It's still right now NXT. We saw, if you got a chance to see the conflict between Black and Ciampa this week, I thought that was really well done. And then same with Johnny and Gargano. I thought that was really well done as well.
It simply comes down to when you can tell a story, a simple, well-executed story, I think that's when wrestling wins. And I think that you don't have to have this convoluted, it was me, Austin, it was me all along, and have swerves for the sake of swerves. All you need to do is tell a simple story. We know Johnny's going to eventually turn on Ciampa. Well, at least we think that's where it's going to go. And it's still going to be a big deal when Johnny eventually turns on Ciampa and then goes for the title finally. Because you can tell that Ciampa's scared of Johnny because he's trying to guide him to Ricochet and be like, go after him. Don't go after me. Go after him. Because he's scared. It's such a simple, basic storyline that a small child can understand it.
And even like a rise to someone like Bianca Belair, I think has been really nice in NXT as well.
Yeah.
We knew her time was coming, and now Bianca Belair is getting her opportunity.
Yeah, and that's the thing now that you have to do. You have to pull the trigger on guys. You can't sidestep it and be like, well, I don't know. I know you're hot right now, but I'm not sure if we should do anything with you.
We have two more things and we're out of here, Joel. First of all, shouts to Johnny Impact and Tyra Valkyrie. The first, I believe, Lance Storm tweeted this, real-life couple that are champions at the same time. Steph and Hunter, when they won those titles, weren't an actual couple. But so I believe Tyra Valkyrie and John Morrison, Impact's Mundo, Nitro, are the first real-life couple that have the men's heavyweight championship and the women's heavyweight championship in their respective company. So pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool. And then last but not least, we have a pay-per-view this Saturday.
We do. What is it, Josh?
We have NXT UK TakeOver. I'm pretty excited for it. So it'll be 2 p.m. Eastern time on the WWE Network. I've started to get a chance to watch the NXT UK brand. Obviously, let's just get the gorilla out of here. There is an unfortunate circumstance around Toni Storm. There was some rumor she deleted her Twitter account and
Instagram.
There's some rumors about her Instagram as well, but there's some rumors she was leaving, but it seems like she is going to be at this show. So support Toni Storm. Really excited to see her wrestle, and we're just going to leave it at that. So on this match, I'm going to be honest, Joel, I don't know every performer in here. So if you do you have a better idea of the roster as it's starting to come together?
I think I have a slight idea.
Okay, so give me an idea for some of these matches. Some of them, obviously, I know, and some I don't. But we start the show off with Travis Banks versus Jordan Devlin.
Ooh, I like Travis Banks. And Jordan Devlin's a very good guy as well. He was one of the key cogs for OTT. I'm interested to see how that relationship plays out long term, especially with the exclusive deals that NXT UK had to sign. I think this will be a good match. I think this will be fast paced, and I think they'll probably give the win to Devlin. But Travis Banks, another guy that you could push. So this is kind of a coin toss match.
It's a good opening match to kind of set the pace of what UK is.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a no DQ match as we have Dave Mastiff versus Eddie Dennis.
Yeah, this one I'm drawing a little bit more of a blank on. I'm a little behind in the NXT UK.
But Dave Mastiff doesn't even have a Wikipedia page yet. Doesn't mean that's not everything, but he doesn't have one. Eddie Dennis, it looks like he has been Progress Tag Champs with Mark Andrews, who we know from 205 Live.
Yeah, and the UK tournament.
Yeah. Then we get to guys that we kind of do know. So we have the first ever NXT Tag Champs will be crowned for UK. We have Mustache Mountain, which is Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, against the Grizzled Young Vets of Zach Gibson and James Drake. Zach Gibson I have seen.
I think that I'd give this to Mustache Mountain.
You would think, right?
But they could be putting over the Grizzled Young Vets.
Yeah, Zach Gibson is just a baby, by the way. He's 28. He's a baby of 28 years old.
that's when you get to that grizzled young vet and having the young boys carrying your bag for you.
Tyler Bate's 21 years old, by the way.
Oh, God.
Between him and Velveteen, they have some youngsters. Trent Seven is 37 years old.
I thought... He's a guy that you'd think is just hitting his 30s.
Yeah, you would think so. He didn't get into wrestling until 2010.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Mustache Mountain will get that. The men's United Kingdom Championship match. Pete Dunne versus Joe Caffey.
I think Dunne's going to retain, and we're going to see Walter show up.
I would agree. Shouts to What Culture. I don't think they have the promotion anymore. Maybe they do, Joel. I don't know. But shouts to them because they were able to make someone like Joe Caffey a name to me from their promotion. So I'm excited to see that because I enjoyed watching Joe Caffey on What Culture Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because this is a nice little title match. Pete Dunne's had a nice long run with the title, and I do think I have a feeling Walter's going to be the man to take the title.
Yeah, that match between Pete Dunne and Walter is going to be one to enjoy. And then our main event, Rhea Ripley taking on Toni Storm. Toni Storm had a great showing at the Undisputed show, the Evolution show, I mean. She did tremendous there. She's been just a great story. She's a great young talent in this industry, just 23 years of age. Rhea Ripley, though, getting the chance to see her the last little bit, also enjoyed. It's two Aussies going at each other, Joel. It's going to be a great match.
Yeah, I think Rhea Ripley gets the win here, but yeah. I think regardless, this will be a good match and a good. I think this will be a good showing, and I think you're going to start to hear more buzz for NXT UK heading into 2019.
Yeah, I think both Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm aren't just the keys of NXT UK. I think they're two of the key women in the entire developmental system right now.
I would have to agree with you.
Toni Storm is someone that you could see in WrestleMania banners. I'm not saying Rhea Ripley can't either, but Toni Storm definitely seems like someone that they're going to protect quite a bit because I think there's a lot of big star around her name.
I would have to agree with you.
So, yeah, I'm really excited for NXT UK to get a shine in out here. And I think the only thing about this is that WWE is going to want to go to start making their own kind of territories with NXT. So it's going to be interesting to see how this takeover show comes off.
Yeah, and just the attendance for the show as well.
The attendance for the show will be interesting. We know they kind of started this to go against World of Sport and whatnot. Seems like a nice lineup. And, yeah, another hectic weekend the world of professional wrestling, Joel.
2019 just hasn't slowed down at all, and I don't think it will.
No, it won't. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the world of professional wrestling because it is at the pinnacle right now. For Joel Johnson, I'm Joshua Adam Waymar. Thank you for listening to One Fall on Stick Boy, and we talk. Until next time, cheers.
Are we independent contractors under Mo? Does that mean we don't get health care through We Talk?
Definitely not.
Damn it.
Enjoy the day, people. And good night, Ben.